Yo, and we're back. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in. Episode number 27. Hey, número 27 of the Good Days Only podcast, bringing you good coffee, good vibes, and good music. Yes, episode 27. You know, now that I realize it, actually, I was looking on Apple Podcasts just this morning, and there are some duplicates, so it's a little bit misleading. It's a little misleading on Apple Podcasts. It says there are like 30 episodes, but as of like last episode, so this might say 31, but there are 27. A couple of them are duplicates, and I didn't actually take any of them down. I didn't remove them because, I don't know, like, I was worried they might be connected or something, because I don't know how they got up there. So I didn't remove them just in case some of y'all had them saved or something, you know, and you're like, what the hell? Now this one's gone. But anyways, hey, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being here. If it's your first time tuning into this show, welcome. Let's just get it going. Today is a good episode. We had some twists and turns along this one here, but, all in all, very delicious caffeine. I'm very caffeinated already. Hey, if you want to help support the Good Days Only podcast, check out the link in the GDO Instagram page, buymeacoffee.com. But for now, let's get into it. Let's get into time for the caffeine breakdown. And today for the caffeine breakdown, we got another good one right here. We're actually revisiting a coffee roaster, which we tried way back in episode 3, dude. It was just actually over a year ago. October 5th of 2020 was when that episode came out. So you can check that episode out if you haven't already. Peep the Instagram post. But now we're here at episode 27. And who the hell am I talking about? None other than, wait for it, that's right, Middle Fork Roasters. Hell yeah. We tried their Tough as Nails blend in the past, way back when, but today we got their Middle Fork blend. And shout out to Win Fam for the bag. Thank you. Very much appreciated, because this is a delicious cup of joe right here. Now let's get into the breakdown, though, because we found some interesting things here. So, a little bit of story about Middle Fork Roasters, established in 2009, right here in the Emerald City, the Rainy City, some call it. Even though it's actually not really the rainiest city in the U.S., actually. But it's always, like, borderline rainy, you know? Like, it's always overcast. Like, it's always just about to rain, so you never know. You always want to have your rain jacket with you, or you, like, carry an umbrella in the car, and, or you got your Arc'teryx. I see everybody with the Arc'teryx. Those motherfuckers are really expensive, though. I wish I could afford one of them, because those jackets must be nice. But I think that's why it gets a bad rep, because it's always just overcast and so gloomy. Because it doesn't actually really rain that much. Like, I mean, it rains, but it's not crazy. Like, in the movies and the TV shows, whenever there's something in Seattle, like, we watched this movie Malignant recently. If you haven't watched that movie, you should watch that movie. Malignant is pretty crazy. There's a pretty wild plot twist at the end that you're like, what? I don't know. At least I didn't see it really coming, but crazy movie. Takes place in the city of Seattle. And it's kind of funny. Okay, just watch it. You should watch that. It's called Malignant, and I think it's on Netflix, but just came out recently. And it's kind of got the spooky vibes. You know, we're officially in spooky season now. The decorations are up. We got some sugar skulls over here. We got some little skeletons hanging around the spot. We got, the little pumpkins. We have not gotten to a pumpkin patch yet, but okay, a little sidebar there. Let me touch base here on the tasting notes for this Middle Forks blend. All right, let's talk a little bit about the tasting notes on this. So MFR, Middle Fork Roasters, tells us This cup of joe right here, these beans, an incredibly smooth combination of El Salvadorian and Sumatran beans. All right, the aromas of rich chocolate and sweet earthiness make for a soft, mellow experience. That sounds delightful already, right? All right, so we got ourselves some heavy hitters right here in terms of geographical locations, you know. Highly sought after being Central America, Indonesia, dude, with Sumatra. Come on. That blend sounds pretty damn delicious, no? El Salvador, hey, fine and gentle flavors. Don't expect anything too bold, they say, on coffeefeature.com. El Salvador brings lighter flavors like sweet honey. And some coffees tasting like chocolate or citrus. The aroma is equally sweet. And this one actually here, yes, the aroma was very pleasant. Has the whole space smelling nice. Nice and sweet. As well as spicy at times. Oh, wait, no, I don't think anything spicy here. But that's what they say about beans from El Salvador. A little bit lighter flavor with this one. Maybe some honey in there? Let me get a little sip. I do get some sweetness in here, I guess. I mean, you know, El Salvador. Okay, I did a little bit digging here, a little sidebar here, but the coffee beans coming from El Salvador, we're doing great, dude, fucking booming, till about the 80s. What's up with the 80s, man? There was a coffee leaf rust outbreak, sounds like, and they were kind of left behind by the competitors because others, you know, switched it up from lower yield coffee plants to more durable ones, more disease resistant ones, whereas the homies in El Salvador decided, nah, we're gonna stay true, we're gonna stick to it, to the roots, and they stuck with their beloved plants, their coffee trees there that they have, and some other things like politics and stuff got in the way, it sounds like. And it got in the way of them producing and being able to distribute consistent, high-quality beans around the world. You know, just for a little minute. A little step back. But that's all right. We're bouncing back now. And they have bounced back and distributing all around, you know, again, highly sought-after beans. But there was another coffee leaf rust outbreak more recently. But it sounds like they got that situation handled, and, you know, they're out here now. I mean, obviously, we got some good shit right here. But I was looking at this, what this, this coffee leaf rust, kind of interesting. It's called Hemilia Vestatrix. Vestatrix. It's a fungus, actually. It's a multicellular basidiomycete fungus of the order Pusineales. That causes coffee leaf rust, a disease affecting the coffee plant. Coffee serves as the obligate host of coffee rust. That is, the rust must have access to and come into physical contact with the coffee in order to survive. Kind of crazy. So this rust just takes over the coffee plant and kind of uses it as a host. So without it, wouldn't really survive. That's insane. It's, yeah. Little fucker, get out of here, coffee leaf rust. It's also the acronym CLR. Kind of funny, they got acronyms for it. But anyways, we got some good shit right here. El Salvador and Sumatra. We got another smooth producing powerhouse right here, you know. Sumatra. That's also just a badass name, no? Sumatra. It's kind of like, reminds me of like Mufasa, you know, the Sumatra. I like that. Many specialty coffee roasters. I think like pretty much any specialty coffee roaster that you'll go to. Yeah, I'd go as far as to say that like the likelihood of having a coffee roaster, either having like if you walk into a coffee shop or a roaster somewhere near you, the likelihood of them either having some Sumatra beans on tap right there, dude, are probably like 90%. If it's not on tap right there, I bet that it has been in the past, or definitely at least crossed the people's mind that own the business, the roaster's mind. I mean, come on. Some smooth, creamy chocolate beans, some tones. But, and if it hasn't crossed your mind, it should cross your mind, because they got some delicious beans coming out of Sumatra. Dude, it must be from the volcanic soil, no? Because I think I've talked about that before. How it's all on like a volcanic island. Something about that volcanic soil, man. Something about the volcano juice. The magma, as it settles down, must make a great soil for the beans. Different flavors. Maybe that's a name for a drink. Volcano juice. Huh? Maybe I'll just sit a little something right here. A little coffee. I don't know, like a little coffee. Something bold, like some, I don't know, a dark roast with some Kahlua. Maybe some jalapeno hint in there. Is that gross? That might be kind of gross. I don't know, a little bit of a spice, a little bit of a kick to your coffee. I don't know what I'm talking about. Let me get a little sip. I am caffeinated already. This is cup number dos, so, hey. And this Middle Fork Roasters, their Middle Fork blend, got us going. It's nice and light, like nice, like, I would say a light roast. See, here's where it gets tricky, all right? Because what roast are we talking about? Let me tell you, we got ourselves a little medium roast, is what it says right here on the website. I'm looking at it right now, website, medium roast. Now, actually, the bag here, Middle Fork Roasters, Middle Fork blend says light roast. So which one is it? Okay, which one is it? Middle Fork Roasters? We don't know. Now I'm confusion. Okay, god dang it. But I don't know. We might got a little beef here, Middle Fork Roasters. I'm just playing, but we'll just split it and say it's a light medium roast. We're in a fork in the road right here. And you know what, actually, as I'm looking at this right here, I didn't realize this before, right down the middle, an incredibly smooth, this is what it says on the bag, which is different than what it says online, what the hell, okay, so right down the middle, an incredibly smooth combination of a blend of Brazilian beans creates a soft and mellow cup. Milk chocolate, appealing earthiness, and subtle nut characteristics makes for a sweet experience. But Brazil, before I just kind of like read over that and glanced over it and didn't think much of it. But it did not register. What the hell is that? Brazil? That's not even the same place as the, what? What's going on here? What is going on here? Yeah, because online right here it says, an incredibly smooth, I'm looking at it, combination El Salvadorian and Sumatran beans. And neither of those are in Brazil. So, what? Yo, typos. Who signed off on this? Who signed off on this Middle Fork Roasters? I don't know. Somebody might want to check that out so we get our notes straight. Well, you know what I'm going to say, though? I mean, even Brazil beans, though. Even Brazil beans. I mean, typically Brazil beans are a good mix of the both. You can make, they produce a little bit lower elevations, I think, in Brazil. Like, I don't think there's very many mountainous regions that grow the beans, if I recall. So, lower elevations, I think, is like darker roast, typically, because they age quicker, so they got to get them off the vine. So like the difference, right, if it's like higher elevations, it takes the bean longer to grow because of just like the temperature and the just the location. I think it's just like colder, so it just makes sense. Maybe does that make sense? Is that right? I think that's right, pretty sure. But anyways, so they usually produce a little bit darker roast beans or beans that are more suitable to be roasted into a dark roast, I think. Whereas this is like a light medium roast, I would say, but judging by like how the beans look, how they grind up, and how it tastes, I don't know. Now I'm all over the place. But this, let me tell you, the tasty notes from me, since we can't really figure out where these beans came from. So let me get a little sip right here. And you do pick up that sweetness. Medium body, I mean, you know, not too heavy on the body, not too harsh on the aftertaste. My breath does not feel stinky, though, which is awesome. Like it does how after sometimes of, You know, sometimes you drink a cup of Joe in the morning, especially with the masks on these days, and your breath gets a little stanky in there. But that does not happen with this one. And maybe, you know, a little bit of citrus, a little slight citrus, hint of citrus. You know, kind of reminds me of like, if maybe, like a lemon poppy seed scone. I had one of those recently. Like a lemon poppy seed scone mixed with some coffee beans. You know, tiny bit of a lemon poppy seed extract was added into the making of these coffee beans. That's kind of what it tastes like when you take a sip of this cup of Joe. And that's my tasting notes for you. So Middle Fork Roasters, we were at a fork in the road. Who knows where this bean comes from, but it's a delectable cup of Joe right here. So brew style, how'd we brew this sucker up? And you know what, hit it with the French press, and honestly, dude, didn't even want to mess with it any other way. Preparing this cup of Joe right here, that French press, it just hit, it's perfect, you know. So it got me thinking, how long has the French press been around? Because I don't know if I've actually ever looked into this one. We gave a little bit of a history lesson on the Victrola last episode, so did a little digging here, and it turns out this may be another bit of a conundrum right here. What the fuck? So it turns out the first French press was actually built and maybe Italiano. Muy interesante, eh? Very interesting. I don't know. It might be Italian. I'll let you decide. But found this a couple different articles. They all kind of say the same thing about the very origins, like in the mid-1800s of like the rough kind of predecessor to the modern day build of a French press. But coming from the perfectdailygrind.com, the first design for this style of coffee brewer, when you know talking about the French press, the modern French press, was patented in 1852 by the Frenchman Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R, however the Frenchman would pronounce it back in the days or over there, and Delforge. It did not create a seal inside of the carafe, so it was essentially not like the one you know today, okay? So, the first patent of the French press that resembles what we use today was patented by the Italians, Attilio Calimani and Giulio Moneta. That's how I'm gonna say their names. Yeah, that's what it is. I think that's how you pronounce it. I've been doing a little bit of Italiano, you know, on the Duolingo, so I think I nailed those ones. But that was in 1929 that these dudes came together and did that. So this was 50, 70 something years later. 76, 77 years later. So this is arguably the most popular design. Or no, not that one. Okay, so what is arguably the most popular design was patented by the Swiss man Faliero Bondanini in 1958. So then another 30 years goes by, you know, and this brewer was known in France where it was manufactured as a Chambord or Chambord. I don't know. Chambord, however, Chambord. But yeah, so the popularity of the Chambord in France is what also gave the cafetiere, I don't know, its French identity. Bondanini later marketed the Chambord as La Cafetiere Classic. I don't know why I'm putting that accent. To the UK market. The well-known Danish company Bodum later became a distributor of the Chambord in Denmark and eventually bought the rights to the Chambord name and factory. La Cafetiere trademark remained in the hands of the original owners. Recent legal disputes have seen Bodum and La Cafetiere battle it out for control of market outside of Europe and concerns over patent designs. So, anyways, what is going on, huh? The question is, Italiano or François? François, is that how you say French? I think that's how you say French, François. The OG image, like that very first one that the homie made back in 1852, Frenchman Mayer and Delforge, it looks pretty similar. But, you know, like the part that you pour out, like that where you pour is more of like a spout than like the French press that we have here today. But I don't know. That I don't know. Is it Italian? Since that was the first like patent of one that we kind of know and love today, or is it? Are you gonna respect like the first version, which wasn't even exactly how we know it today? So it's a little bit of take your pick there. I don't know. It's still a French press though. I don't think I'll call it an Italian press. Maybe in jokes, but you know, I don't know. Anyways, back to the Middle Fork Roasters blend here. The appearance and packaging. We got that 12-ounce paper bag. No stand-up zipper pouch, unfortunate. But they do have some cool little art piece right here on the front. And Middle Fork Roasters, that's one thing they got going for them. We might not know where these beans coming from, but we know that they hitting us with that art. They got a nice little picnic table right here under a gigantic tree. What kind of tree is that? No idea. No idea. It's hard because it's a silhouette. It's kind of black and white. But I'm going to say maybe a big old elm tree. What does an elm tree look like? No idea. Let's see what an elm tree looks like. Is that what it looks like? Oh, shit. It might be an elm tree. Damn. I hella guessed that and hit it right on the head, maybe. Dude. Hey. Yeah, I think it's an elm tree. So, just a gigantic elm tree with a nice little picnic table underneath. On the very front. And the big old, you know, Middle Fork Roasters up here lets us know what we got in the bag here. I mean, what we think we got in the bag. The light roast. A little bit of a story behind them. And then a little signature by Matt Parrish. The coffee roaster, Matt Parrish. Hey, from Middle Fork Roasters, you're doing your thing. Please let us know what kind of a roast this is, because I don't know. They got a little quote on here. What does it say? Everybody should believe in something. I believe I'll have another coffee. From anonymous sources. Nice. Well, all in all, very delicious cup of joe. Don't know where the beans come from. Little bit of conundrum with the French press history, but who knows. This bag looks fucking dope though. It's cool. Yeah, and like I said, they have a bunch of cool art on all of their bags. Looking through their selection online, there's actually another coffee I want to try. It's called the Back Pedal Brew. It's got a cool picture of a bike on the front, and it just reminds me of, you know, my bike. And so let's get into that now, because I got a little story. As you guys know, I've been biking around the city of Seattle. And I'll save this for the next section here. So let's roll into the good vibes section, all right? That wraps it up for the caffeine breakdown for Middle Fork Roasters Middle Fork Blend. All right. And we're back. Ooh, what was that? I thought I just drank some water. Excuse me. Let me get a little sip of this caffeine, actually. All right. And we're back. So, we're here. The good vibes section. Hell yeah. Thank you for staying tuned. Dude, this is, and I actually got a little, what the fuck? We got a little fruit flies in here somehow? Maybe it's the sunflowers. Dude, we got some sunflowers. Maybe it's fruit flies. Are fruit flies attracted to sunflowers? I don't know. All right. I got it. I think it's gone. Little fucker. All right. Anyways, welcome. So, a little bit of some good vibes here. What's been going on with me recently? So, my bike, as many of you know, I got a little bit over a year ago. And it's an e-bike. So, it's an e-bike. But, you know, the e-functionality has not really worked for some time now. And pretty sure it's the battery, like plugging it in, it didn't work. Anyways, long story. That's another tangent. Doesn't work. And so I just been pedaling around, you know, just using it like a normal bike, but it's been really, really heavy because the e-bike, like the motor was in the rear wheel. And so it was just a heavy ass bike. And so, recently, even more recently, something started happening with the rear brake, where like I braked I don't even think I braked that really that hard, but it was kind of going downhill, and I used the brake, push on the brake, and then as I started going again, it just started making this really crazy clicking sound, like this really, really loud clicking sound. It was really bad. It was like, you know, when you have those, like as a kid, you would put like a baseball card or a Pokemon card or whatever, or just like a playing card into the back wheel so it would hit the spokes and like it would like click, 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 click. It was like that, but like times 10. And it wasn't any cards that I had put in to hit the spoke. So it wasn't cool. All right. It was worrisome because I was like, damn, if my rear brake doesn't work, your boy is going to be out of commission. You know, I don't want to be going into the intersection when this, you know, light is green and I'm about to get run over. So I was like, all right, can't use it. I started walking to work. So I was walking to work for like a week. And then a couple coworkers, thank you. Shout out. You know who you are. Put me onto this bike shop that's right down the street, and it's called The Bikery. The Bikery is a volunteer-run, donation-based community bike shop. So they got a couple of bike racks or stands, where you can, you know, put your bike up there, and what you do essentially is you work on your own bike. If it's got some issues, whatever you need, and the people there are just there to offer a helping hand. So people just have, you know, different levels of expertise, but they're just all volunteers. They're there to just, you know, help people out, which is fucking awesome. That's so cool. It's called the Bikery. You can check them on online. It's called thebikery.org. And they have a bunch of different bikes that are just donations, you know, and a couple people even stopped by while I was there. Cause I was there, bro, like 6 hours, like maybe, you know, I was there for like 5 hours, last Sunday, I think it was. Yeah. Because they're only open Saturday and Sunday from 12 in the afternoon to 6 PM. So it's a weekend operation. Because, you know, everybody's busy. Everybody probably got jobs during the week and they're just volunteering on their weekend. And so you go in and it's not appointment based. It's just first come, first serve. And you just like, you know, everybody there was super welcoming. The volunteers were awesome. Shout out to my boy Reed. I didn't get his last name, but Reed, thank you, man. This guy, he like just stuck through it with me for like 5 hours. We did a full ass work shift together in there and just had the bike up on the rack. And I ended up having to get a new chain. Like we got some new, the drivetrain, the rear wheel that was used to be like 25 pounds. I swapped that out, put a new wheel in there, and just used the same tire and the tube that I had already. But we got everything. We got the brakes all set, and the cord for my shifter, as I was in there, like right, we were towards the end of the whole day, you know, long ass day that we were in there. And then towards the end, we had it on the rack and we were just shifting through the gears because I had taken it for a test ride and it was just kind of feeling a little funky when it was getting into the lower gears and so, or into the higher gears rather. And so we were testing it out. And as he was shifting while we were on the rack, it just like stopped working. It stopped shifting and we're like, fuck, what is this now at the very end? And it turns out that there's like a little like a metal mesh like cord that, you know, that controls your shifter. And because it's like some little, you know, the little like paddle kind of shifter with a little, it clicks when you pull back the little shifter. If you got a bike, you know what I'm talking about. So anyways, it like popped off. So we had to take that off and replace that whole cord as well. But it's a good thing it happened while I was still there and not like on the way home. That would have sucked. But anyways, yeah, shout out Reed. That was great. I had a great experience. And again, it's all like all of the parts that we used so that we replaced my old parts with. A lot of them are donation. So you get stuff like, you know, very cheap because it's just, it's secondhand stuff. They do have some newer things. So like the chain that I got was new. So those prices are not really negotiable, but, and then they even sell bikes, like some bikes that they've refurbished that were there, you know, that were donated there. So they got stuff like all ranges, like they've got a bunch of like new bikes, they got some old like classic bikes that they've refurbished, repurposed, road bikes, mountain bikes, so the, you know, hybrids, crossover, like they got a bunch of shit. So if you guys are into bikes, or you just need like a little helping hand, you know, you don't know all of the, and it's okay, you don't know everything about the bike. I don't know shit about the bike, it turns out, because this guy was telling me things and I was like, what are you even talking about? And he was like, you know, the thing. And I was like, no, I don't know what you're saying. And so we learned. It's good. It's good. And it sounds like they do like events where, you know, people will meet up and just, you know, go for a bike ride together. And there's a couple pictures here where there's like 50 people out in this park. So yeah, really cool. And it's right there off of Rainier by the Goodwill, kind of by like, Uli's Famous Sausage. I seen that right there. It's on Hiawatha Road. No, Hiawatha was the road. It's Hiawatha or something like that. I don't know if I can find, oh yeah, Hiawatha, 845 Hiawatha Place South, Seattle, Washington. If you're interested. Fix it, ride it, teach others. Awesome. And you can volunteer online. You know, and they got an online bike store. Anyways, check them out. Yeah, thebikery.org. Went there, had a great experience, got some new shit on the bike. And then, get this. I get home, I bike it to work, you know, the next day. I go into work, I come back from work. It's fine. End of the day, it's cool. I put it up in our bike rack here at the apartment. And then, wake up the next morning, because I'm going to go back to work, and there's a fucking, I got a flat tire. Awesome. So, and then, you know, I haven't fixed it. I gotta find the other tube that I have laying around here somewhere and just like replace that. So if it's not one thing, it's another, huh? Let me get a little sip right here. But let's also pour some more right here. Yeah, so I had one solid day of riding, and it was awesome. It worked like a fucking charm. But then next day, flat tire. So what I would, you know, and then that same day I was like running late. I was like, shit, I gotta get to work. So luckily, and hey, you guys, like, I'm sure everybody has probably tried one, but these Link scooters, yo, they rip, dude. It's like, it goes like 15 miles per hour. It's like those scooters that you see around the city, just park random places. The Link scooter, though, because I haven't tried the Lime scooters, but I heard that they're hella lame and like they don't really accelerate and don't really carry you very fast. But the Link scooter is like a little bit, and even looks a little bit beefier. I've been using that as an alternative sometimes if I was running late to work. It fucking rips, and going uphill too. Uphill, you might have to give it a little bit of a push, you know, with your foot, but that's all right. You know, just a little help along the way. But it still goes like 10 miles an hour, 12 miles an hour uphill, which is pretty impressive actually. Cause, you know, I'm like $175, $180, and it's carrying me uphill at 10 miles per hour. So it's pretty awesome. Shout out Link scooters. I don't know what happened to the Bird scooters, because those used to be a thing, but I haven't seen those around. But these Link scooters, they haul ass. They're awesome. And I see the appeal. I was thinking like, dude, should I just buy a scooter? No, I got a bike. I got to fix a tire. But talking about Link scooters, different Link, but the Seattle Link, for those of you in the Seattle area, has now opened up further north than before. And this happened like a couple weeks ago, but it used to just go up around UW. And I don't know if it was like just at the University of Washington, but now it goes up to the Northgate Mall area, which is pretty awesome. That's some pretty big news. Like, I still haven't hopped on it and gone that far, but, you know, this is an awesome arrival of a long anticipated project, I feel. You know, it's cool because now if you live up north, you know, and you work in the city, this is another option for commuting in. Instead of driving in, having to pay for parking, getting stuck in traffic, trying to find parking. And, you know, I don't really know what the schedule is like for the link. It might be like you're commuting maybe an extra 15 minutes, but it saves you all that other hassle of like the uncertainty of the actual, you know, time that you're going to be getting in. Because roughly the link is like, you know, if it says like, oh, it's going to arrive to you at 9:15 and it'll get you to your destination at 9:30. It's usually like, if it doesn't arrive right at 9:15, it'll be like 9:17 at the latest or like 9:12, you know, so give or take maybe 3 to 5 minutes. Whereas if you're driving, dude, it could be like plus or minus like 15 minutes. It could be plus or minus 45 minutes. You never know. Sometimes all of a sudden there's a car accident, which is way more likely than an accident happening on the link rail. I think, right? I would hope. I don't know. But yeah, they got a couple other stops up north. So reduce the carbon footprint. Come on, people. Come on, get a bike or hop on the link. I remember actually seeing this in a booth or a sign somewhere. It was like a booth like 4 or 5 years ago that this expansion was happening. And this was before I was really familiar with the link station and the system. I don't know what it was, like some sort of festival or something, like Pride or something, like down at the Seattle Center. And they were talking about this, how they were expanding the link and like it's even going to go up north, even further north, I think. They're going to try and go up to like Bellingham, maybe. I know like Everett or for sure, I think. But yeah, I had seen it on this link or on this in this booth. And they were like, oh, yeah, so we're going to expand this, go up north. And they were like, but it's not going to happen anytime soon. It's going to be, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. And at the time, it was like 2016, 2017, something like that. I was like, damn, 2021, 2022, that's so far away. Like, oh my God. And then here we are. Here we fucking are. I don't know. Time just flies. But it would be cool if they connected all the way up north to like Bellingham. That'd be dope. I feel like the U.S. doesn't really... like, this isn't really a thing in the U.S., you know, like an above-ground train system. I mean, we have trains, but the thing is, like, it's, I don't know, isn't it more common in other countries? Like, they have more of a train system, like in, you know, like in Europe, maybe? I don't know. I've never been to Europe, but I think it just seems like there's more trains. I see them on movies, but then again, it's not always raining in Seattle like it is in the movies, so... maybe they don't have that many trains over there and they just film a lot of movies on trains, people on trains. I don't know. Enough about the trains, planes, trains, and automobiles. Yo, the Cougs pulled out another dub. Hey, there we go. That makes 3 in a row, huh? That makes 3 in a row. Cal, Oregon State, and then Stanford. Yeah, Stanford, they just beat. Not gonna lie. I haven't really been tuning into the games. I've been watching a lot of the highlights and just keeping like tabs on the score as the game goes. But I think I've watched like 2 games from start to finish this year. And I guess I don't know what it is. I think we're always just busy, like around the time of the game, just always on the go, I guess. But we got BYU next weekend and Arizona State the following game, which is gonna be dope. Going to the first game in person this season. Miss watching sporting events live. But the first college game this season. So that's going to be dope. I think, and this is going to be the first like away game, I think, that I've ever watched in person. So that'll be a trip. Because usually I'm surrounded by like the Crimson and Gray, you know, at Martin Stadium. AKA now, what the fuck is it called? Not even Martin Stadium. Not even... is it Giza Field, Giza Center or something like that? I'm not even going to look it up. Something like that. But you know what? At the end of the day, dude, though, okay, here's something that I got to get off my chest. Listen here, out there. If you're wearing Coug gear, this happened to me recently because, so I got to say this. If you're wearing Coug gear, dude, like a hat maybe, you know, to block the sun from hitting your eyes on a sunny day, or a scarf. You know, it's cold outside now. It's getting cold. Or a beanie, and you're walking a couple of blocks to get a, you know, to hit up the coffee plug. You know, it's the middle of the fall, the winter. So you're bundling up in your cool gear, all right? Or you got a shirt on, or a hoodie, whatever it is. Dude, if somebody hits you with a Go Cougs, you fucking say it back, dude. Because come on, you can't just wear that. It's an open invitation. Like, if you're wearing some cool gear, it's an open invitation for somebody to approach you and say, hey, Go Cougs, what's up? Or start a conversation. And you kind of should just expect that. You know, if you're going to just wear this gear and not reciprocate the gesture, you know, that signifies the camaraderie of the entire university and the town of Pullman, you know, and the extensions out to all the Seattle, or the Seattle, the satellite WSU campuses. I don't know, man. Kind of crazy to me sometimes. Like, yo, like, nothing worse than when you tell someone you see wearing some gear, like a Go Cougs. You're like, yo, fuck yeah. Because, like, I went there, dude. I know if you went there, like, we went through some of the same shit. We walked the same halls. We walked, you know, it's like just a cool thing. You connect with somebody. And they're just like, or whatever, you know. I just don't get it. I don't get it. It's, dude, I don't know. Because the whole thing is like, it's contagious, dude. You know how many times I've heard or I've seen someone post something online like, you know, people that have no idea what Washington State University is like, what it's about, what the culture is like. And then they go visit the campus, walk through the Cub senior ball, or the Cub rather, and then, like, you know, go to a sporting event maybe. And just the feeling of like walking on campus when there's like a big game happening, like there's like a buzz in the air, you know? So like a lot of people after experiencing that were just going out to the campus and hanging with people. Maybe it's a little bit of the, you know, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 tequilas and everybody's just a little bit friendlier. Might have something to do with it. I don't know. But so many people after experiencing that agree, you know, or they come out with that takeaway. They get it. They just get it. Everyone's just there vibing. You know, everyone's having a good time. And they say, you know what? I understand why there's such a pride from in the Cougar alumni community, in their alma mater. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you are wearing that gear, you better, like, just be ready for somebody to come up to you and have a, you know, if it's just a Go Cougs, a Go Cougs. But I mean, I'm going to go as far as to say that, like, if I'm wearing some gear, I'm going to be okay with somebody coming up and having a conversation with me and asking me questions about, like, you know, oh, what year did you go? Blah, 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 blah. You know, what was your major? Whatever, you know, and you just get a little chat. You get to know somebody else, right? Somebody else that has experienced something that you have experienced too. And that's being a Coug. So anyways, wow, that was a long rant to say. If you hear somebody saying Go Cougs and you're wearing some Cougar gear, dude, you best be saying that shit back. All right? All right. Deal. So let's keep the good vibes rolling, dude. Let's keep the good vibes rolling. We've been going for a minute here, so just fucking what? How long is this now? I've just been talking. We've just been talking, though. We're going to keep the good vibes rolling here with the GDO playlist, dude, for the week. And or for the couple weeks, or forever, whatever, whenever you want to listen to it. And this one, dude, this coffee was so smooth, it got me feeling some type of way. And some of y'all might already be fucking with this a little bit, but I feel like it's a very underrated and overlooked by the general public a genre of music. Because what am I talking about? I'm talking about smooth jazz. Man, this shit hit different on a nice Sunday morning as you're waking up making some fucking coffee, dude. Something about the, like, 95 beats per minute, the BPMs, dude. You know? Something about a nice alto saxophone, the woodwind of my choice, okay? Or, you know, somebody with the magic fingers on the keys, dude. Somebody throwing down on a flute, yo, even like even within smooth jazz, I feel like that there's a sub. See, I even just like my voice just kind of changed a little bit with the smooth jazz. It makes me want to just kind of like, all right, chill out. All right, we're caffeinated, but let's just take it down a notch and chill. There's some damn, yeah, this caffeine is. There's even like within smooth jazz, I think there's like a subgenres in that, you know, like there's like other jazz, right? So there's like smooth jazz, like bebop jazz, big band. I think that's the only ones I remember. There's other ones, but even within smooth jazz, there's more upbeat, you know, get a little pep in your step. Like a track that's going to be on the playlist is called JJ's Strut by Reagan Whiteside. Shout out. That's the radio edit version. I couldn't find a different version, but that version, that'll like, it just gets you going. Sometimes, some of these songs though, not gonna lie, it feels like you're in the lobby of a video game, like some sort of, you know, on Sims or some shit, or like on a Wii lobby. But some of the songs, dude, they probably are from there, or like they're inspired from some smooth jazz songs, like those ones that are in those lobbies, those game lobbies, because these things, dude, it's just like some smooth jazz. Come on. Yeah, but so that's a dope track, JJ Strut by Reagan Whiteside with a flute. But there's also just some instant classics, dude, like this song I really enjoy. It's called Chill AF by Von Del Andrew. Yo, this fucking song, I could play this on repeat and like not get tired, because that saxophone, dude, the song only peaked at number 14 actually in April 2019 after spending 16 weeks on the Billboard chart. Weekly report available. Sorry about that. It peaked at 14 April 2019, after spending 16 weeks on the Billboard charts for smooth jazz. And it came out a year prior to that, so in 2018, in the 2018 album from Von Del, which was titled 30, just like the numbers, 30. He had another song off of that album that was in the top 15 as well. That'll be in the playlist. But all these tracks, man, they just be smooth. Something about just like the light hi-hat, you know, the and then, you know, is the snare is not too like intense in there. You don't get too many cymbals. Like, you get some cymbals in there, but not too many, like, you know, just, you know, it's nice and smooth. Just chill. It'll bring you down a little bit. Like, if you need to unwind, just like have a nice, even with like a glass of wine, dude. Doesn't have to be coffee waking up in the morning. If you're having, like, preparing yourself a nice fucking dinner, dude, you're planning on, like, a little stay-at-home date night, dude, play some smooth jazz. Make a little dinner together. And have a nice glass of wine. Maybe a nice Syrah. I like a nice Syrah. So, anyways, keep an ear out for that playlist. We got some smooth jams on there, and jazz, both. Yeah, anyways, these two songs and many more on the GDO playlist. I also changed the appearance actually on the Spotify, so now you can see the GDO logo. So hopefully these playlists are a little bit easier to find. I know there's been an issue in the past. I have had that feedback, so thank you for that feedback, everybody. But for now, that's it. Episode 27 in the books. Thank you for tuning in, man. This was a good one. Hope you had a good time. If you're still around, thank you for staying tuned through my entire rant. That was a long rant, but I'll just shut up here. And until next time, man, episode 28 coming at you in a couple weeks. It's going to be a fun episode because we're going to be on the road. I might bring the mic. I don't know. We'll see what's going to happen, because that's going to be when we're at the football game. But anyways, ta-ta for now. Thanks for tuning in. Love you all. Mwah.